are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? No, I'm not scared at all, but I'm getting tired of people trying to panic other people. Because there's a lot of people that will listen to the news of the paper and believe it's gospel, listen to people that they think are experts that aren't experts, and even the experts don't know what's going on. They can't tell you. I don't really know the answer to that question. And I always refer, you need to get context and perspective. And I'm talking about this COVID-19 or the coronavirus, whatever they're calling it today. How many people has it killed? In the entire world, how many people do we know it's killed so far? It's less than 4,000 people. That's worldwide, less than 4,000. How many people did the Center for Disease Control, because they put out the numbers, they do the estimates on the influenza, the flu, in the United States alone, not the world. I gave you the less than 4,000 is for the world. And yes, it's going to go over 4,000. But in the United States, today, Over 18,000 Americans have died of the flu. And yes, guess what? Most of them are older people in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s. And that happens year in, year out. It usually impacts tens of millions of Americans. Get it? That's why the death rate is about 0.1%. You need to have the numerator, which is the death rate, mortality rate, whatever you like to think of it, over 18,000. I've heard, and remember, these numbers are all estimates because there are a lot of people that are reporting or not reporting, and you have to, in essence, make an educated guess. But it could be twice that. And it happens year in, year out in the United States. We almost seldom hear anything about it other than get your flu shot. If you want to get a flu shot, knock yourself out. I'm the so-called high-risk group. And guess what? I've had a cold. I prefer to call it a cold. You can call it whatever you want. I had it last November, December, and I got it on this campus, probably, most likely, from the professor in whose course I was taking, because she dutifully came in and gave her lecture, and, a week later, I was coughing. Now, am I blaming her? No. Most Americans have a strong work ethic, and they're coming to work. For two reasons. One, their boss wants them there, and two, they need the money. And if you're not really seriously sick, that's what most people do. Now, if you're seriously sick, you'll stay home. You don't want to go anywhere. And that's happened to me on at least one or two occasions. But most people, every single year, get one or more colds. Some of them, to the extent that they go to a doctor, yeah, you can figure out exactly what if you have a virus or not. Why are we panicking? Because the media is panicking the people, and the government, the best it's trying to do is not panic. I've listened to President Trump's coronavirus task force headed by Vice President Pence, and let me repeat what they say. The American people are at low risk. Low risk. Maybe they should say at tiny, tiny, tiny risk to get it through your heads. But low risk. And they quickly point out if you are in the at-risk group, who are they? People that are over 60. So if you're in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, guess what? You're at risk. But if you have an additional, what they call an underlining medical condition. In other words, if you have heart disease, cancer, diabetes, respiratory problems, just to mention a few, you're going to be at risk. And you know who you are, and I think most people will use common sense, not everybody, but most people, and stay away, for example, from big crowds or traveling where you're in a confined space on an airliner or a cruise. The American people are fortunately not panicking. Who is panicking? Largely local and state governments. Now, they know they can be thrown out of office. So for them, it's, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Your school is canceled. Your college is canceled. That's the safe decision. And it is the safe decision. But what have you done? You've wasted a lot of resources and time. You can't get this time back. If you cancel school, when are they going to make this up? I'm taking two courses, and there's no way I plan not to be taking any academic courses in the summer, and I'm not going to make them up. I'll stay home and read. And see, what's happening is the government is going to start pushing people around. And that's when this is going to hit the fan, because the people are going to say, hell no, I'm not staying home. I feel perfectly fine. And they're going to say, well, you tested for coronavirus. So what? Do I have severe symptoms? No. Most people either will have no symptoms or will have a cough or a sneeze. And you're telling him you have to stay home for 2 weeks? You don't say that for people who have colds. You don't say that for people that have the flu. That's a lot more deadlier. This is a power grab, and it will be a power grab by the governments. We've seen that in Italy. Italy has locked down its people. Now, if the Italians want to go along with this, fine. I don't think it's going to last very long. Now, they said they will do it until the middle of March, which is, a couple of days from now is the middle of March. So you have a week off. I think a lot of this is people on government payrolls that want a week off, or maybe 2 weeks off. There's a little bit of that going around. But what's the economic impact? Oh, yes, and there is an economic impact. This could, if this progressive propaganda gets out of hand, cause a worldwide recession, because that's where this is leading, because we have a lot of progressives that are panicking, and they control big lie media, and they do. I think Trump is right, because he's listening to a lot of experts. What happens in the summer months when the temperature is high? Most of these viruses, not all, but most of these viruses go dormant or die. That's why they call it the seasonal flu. It usually starts November, December timeframe, and it lasts typically through April. Depends where you're at. If you're in a hot area, if you're in the South, it's going to be sooner. You know, I made a comment yesterday. I was discussing this. I said, in 60 days, this won't even be a story. Oh, yeah, you'll get an update, but other than that, this will not be news. Right now, every single day, and I'm getting tired of it, we hear panic. The panic pushes are out in force, trying to scare you into thinking that the government is going to solve this. The government's not going to solve this. You have to make up your own mind, take responsibility for your own life. And again, you know your situation better than I do. You know your age. You know whether you have any medical problems. And yes, I think you should be cautious, prudent. But the worst thing, and it's happening right now, the panic is being pushed and pushed and pushed. Now, part of this is trying to go after Trump. That's what's despicable about this. People have a political agenda, and they're using anything that they can. Remember, these are the people that are largely the ends justify the means. The end is getting Trump out of office. Any means is fair game. And if that means scaring people about this so-called pandemic, now I'd be the first to say it has spread around the world. There's no doubt about it. But around the world, every single year, we have influenza flu that kills hundreds of thousands of people. You don't see many stories about that, but that's the case. I think this year will be the first time that most people will be even aware that tens of thousands of Americans died of the flu. And it happens every year. Sometimes it's a lot worse. Sometimes it's a lot less. And you need to relate that number to how many people actually got it. And those are tens of millions of people. What's the numerator? The death rate. What's the denominator? The people that actually have the disease. We don't have enough test kits. If we had to test everyone for influenza, we don't have the test kits, but we don't have them either for this virus. Now we're rushing to get those test kits that you have to send to a lab, and then you get it back. And I'm taking the next step, and you got to think about this. Let's say you work and you need the job. You can't, other than taking a sick day, if your company offers it. Many small companies don't. Large companies have a so-called number of sick days. Other than that, if you take a day off, you're not getting paid. See, I had a job where it was a good-paying job. I liked it for a while, but there were no sick days. You got paid for working. This was a small company, and you could, in essence, work as much as you want, you know, up to a point, 8, 10, 12 hours, go to it. But there was no sick leave, there were no vacations, there were health benefits, too, I'll add that. But most people, unless you work for a large company or the government, if you work for a small company, you're lucky if you have a good health insurance. So there are tens of millions of people that are in that situation. They're not going to, first of all, they're not going to volunteer and go out and take the test. They don't want to know whether they have it. And as long as they're feeling well, or let's say they've had a cough, not a serious cough, but they've coughed a little or sneezed a little. Do you think they're going to take off work for that and risk losing their jobs? If you do, you're crazy. So there is going to start to be a pushback. Now the government is very much in control, saying, well, you got to go in a quarantine. Quarantines don't really work. We've had them in the past. The disease overwhelms the quarantines. Why? There are just too many people that are not in quarantine. Some of them should be, most of them shouldn't. So it spreads. And what's the first thing they say? Well, don't go out where there's a lot of people. In other words, where people are gathered. For example, a sporting event was the most typical one. But anything like that. Well, they won't let you protest what the government is doing. You see, Communist China could tell its people what to do. They're an authoritarian regime. They tell you, you will not go to work. And they can make it stick because they are a police state. Try that in the United States for very long. And let me warn the politicians, the pushback will be overwhelming. You'll have your heads handed to you. So you have these very liberal, progressive governors of California, New York. You try that with the general population, the public is going to throw you out of office the next election, and they're going to protest. Because the majority of people are either healthy or have few, if any, of the symptoms. And yes, you can make the case, okay, you're spreading the disease. My first comment is, prove it, I'm spreading the disease. You don't even know how many people have the disease. Are you going to compel every single citizen of the United States to be tested? Try that. Now, they don't have the test kits. First of all, that's expensive to do. You got 330 million people. Are you going to test every single one of them? Doesn't make much sense to me. But if you're going to use this quarantine approach thinking that's going to stop it, I think you're kidding yourself. Did it stop it in China? No, not really. And they have the most authoritarian regime, except for North Korea, in the world. The American people don't like to be told what to do by the government. See, that's if you look a little bit further. Now, I fully anticipate by May, this won't be in the news. It shouldn't be in the news. But we have people that are pushing a political agenda, trying to get Trump out of office, and they're using this to wreck the economy. And they might succeed to the extent that they can panic people. The American people are not panicking, at least not up to now. And they're going to start asking some hard questions. How many people have the disease? Well, to answer that question, how many people have been tested? And just ask yourself this question. Would you get tested? Let's say you're healthy. Would you get tested? Say, hell no, I'm not going to get tested. I'm not going to take time off for work to go to a doctor's office to get tested or anywhere else. Because what happens if the test says I have it, and I know I've had no symptoms and haven't been around anybody. But let's say I do have it. What are you going to do, lock me up? I mean, that's what Cuomo in New York is doing, calling in the National Guard. And the cover story, well, you know, they're help cleaning up certain facilities. No. There's an area in New York, the New Rochelle area. I used to live on Long Island. Anyway, there's been an outbreak there. So he calls the National Guard up. I wonder if they tested all the National Guard. That would be my first question. Well, Governor Cuomo, how many of the National Guard were tested for the virus? Probably none. They should do that because guess what? You need a baseline. Okay, none of them had it. And 2 weeks of being in this area, how many have it after that? Now, they can order the government, the National Guard, can order all its people to do it. But what I'm talking about is the general population, not of the prison, of the American people. Are you going to order them to take the test? You're assuming compliance here. The American people don't like to be pushed around by the government and politicians. They're going to start pushing back. They're going to start asking some serious questions. You know, my serious question was, what have you been doing about influenza? Because it's way more deadly in the sense of actually how many have been killed by it. They're talking anywhere from 18,000 to 36,000 this year. And it could be higher. It's just an estimate. They don't know exactly how many people in the United States have died of COVID-19. It's less than 24, folks, versus thousands, tens of thousands. Are you beginning to get my point? If we're not overly concerned or panicked by influenza, then why are we being panicked about this? That's a good question. Why? Why are we panicking? You think the government is going to save you? There's nothing they can do for you. That's the second point. What can they do for you? There's no medicine. What they tell is go. I love this. Go home and self-quarantine. Self-quarantine. In other words, volunteer to go home. Well, that's nice, but a lot of people are saying, hey, I got to work. I got bills to pay, rent to pay, mortgage payment to pay. You want me to go home and self-quarantine? And I feel wonderful. Oh, yeah, occasionally I sneeze and cough. You want me to stay home? And what's the reaction of the president? Well, we might have some payroll relief. All those Social Security taxes you're paying. Now, I'm sort of kicking myself on this one. We need fundamental tax reform, and that includes getting rid of the payroll taxes and having a broad-based consumption tax. Instead, we're talking about a temporary payroll deduction. Tomorrow, I'll get into the details once I know what they are. And again, what is the general response? And I've now listened to several of these, and I'm not criticizing them for making, they have to do this, and I agree they should tell the people on a regular schedule, periodically, where do we stand now? That's all good. But I'll summarize it. The American people have a very, very, I shouldn't have said very, very. There's a low risk that you'll get this. The only exceptions, and it's an important exception, are people that are older, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or above, in particular if you already have a medical condition such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure. And then you should be careful. You shouldn't go to areas where there are big crowds and someone in the crowd could give it to you. Now, most people in that group, except for maybe going on cruises and a vacation and traveling, they don't typically go where there are big crowds. Now, maybe that's just me, but they either stay at home or they like traveling to other countries on vacations or a cruise. So maybe they will put that off. I leave that up to them. If they feel that they're really not at risk, go for it. Go for it. Again, use common sense and prudence. The other thing they're saying, wash your hands. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Sing the happy birthday song. That'll last at least 20 seconds. And really wash those hands. Now, I don't know, do not know about you, but when I go to the bathroom and do my business, I go to the sink and wash my hands. Did I do it for 20 seconds? No. But now I'm doing it for 20 seconds. I'll go along. And I think most Americans would do that. It's a good idea. It's being polite. Go wash your hands. So be calm, keep calm, and wash your hands. Now, that's good advice. Matter of fact, I think that's the one single advice they should give. And as far as these death counts and governors or mayors or college president. Now, I didn't plan that. I didn't plan that. I just coughed. Maybe I have COVID-19. Or maybe I just coughed. People cough all the time. People sneeze all the time. And usually they don't have a cold or the flu. They just cough. Spontaneous. Something stuck in the throat. I was at a lecture today, and this guy's a young guy, has no, to the best of my knowledge, no underlying medical conditions. But there was about a minute where he almost lost his voice. You could hear it. Maybe he has COVID-19. He knows a little bit more about this than I do, and he's of the same opinion. You can be concerned about it, take precautions, but it's low risk, folks. It's low risk. But let me tell you what's high risk because of this panic propaganda. What's high risk is the economy could be put in a recession because of all these news and newspapers panicking people. And we're seeing who are the sheep. There are a lot of sheep out there. If the government told them to put on a blue hat, they'd go out and buy a blue hat. Or a red hat, depending on who you listen to. So I think you should be concerned. What I'm saying is, though, don't panic. I think there are a lot of other things that could kill you than this virus. And the influenza flu every year is one of them. And we don't panic over that. What also happened today, oh yes, Italy has more or less closed the country. Stay home. We'll see how long that lasts. Now, what they're doing, most countries are doing, they're canceling sporting events. I don't think that's going to sit well. You know, maybe a week or two to reschedule it. I know in the United States, I think that would not go down well. We'll cancel the season. And we have conventions and conferences that are also being canceled. Part of this is just people are panicking. Now remember, if people are staying home, who gets hit hardest here? Obviously the airlines do, cruise ships do, hotels do, especially if people are going on vacation or to a conference. Restaurants get impacted. So they will feel the initial end of that sharp point. They already know that. What also happens if the general advice is stay home? And people, at least initially, go along with it, people are not going to be buying very much. Now, you're going to need groceries. Now, that's one of the things that strikes me. I usually go to the grocery store twice a week, on Saturdays and typically Wednesdays. I don't go out and buy groceries for several months, but that's sort of the advice you're getting. Stock up, stock up. Well, I stock up on cereal. I have a good supply of cereal. I have a good supply of tuna fish and mayonnaise. But one thing I need with the cereal is milk. So what should I do? Spend more money and buy these powdered milks? That's a possibility. Am I serious about this? Well, I've always had in the back of my mind, well, I'll get one or two boxes, again, in case of an emergency that I can't, or I forget. So it's always available. People need to eat. Eat. They're going to go to the grocery store. Are you going to stop them from going to the grocery stores? If you want to see a backlash from the American people, you try that. That's not going to sit well. A lot of these politicians better wake up to the fact that, oh yes, there's a political dimension to this. But if you really start clamping down and forcing people to stay home that don't want to stay home, especially if they don't, either they don't have anything or they do, but they're not showing any symptoms. Now, are people going to challenge it in the court? Some of them will. Most people won't because that costs money. And what's going to happen to the court system? Are they going to close down until people, this crisis is over with, whenever that is? In Texas, in about 30 days, it will be warm. It's warm today. I didn't check the weather forecast. I had my winter jacket. I left it in the trunk of my car because it's going to hit 80 in Dallas, Texas. The story in the news, yes, it is the virus. and its impact, especially on your investment portfolio. Oh, yeah. The markets went down, no matter which indices you use, by over 7%. They're very, very close to the total correction being down over 20%. And that would be the end of the bull market. But this thing can turn around on a dime. Part of it is, what is the federal government doing to respond to this? And why you're going to see outbreaks, that doesn't surprise me. See, the number you don't have, and I maintain you're never going to get the answer to this, is how many right now have the coronavirus. We don't know. I'm not even going to guess. Is it tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions? I would tend to go with the larger number, because this virus is contagious in the sense that it's easy to spread. Let's say it's super easy to spread. Well, then millions of people have it. We can't confirm it. And most of those people aren't going to spend the money or the time to confirm it, because it's not in their interest to confirm it. But let's say we did, then immediately we know that the death rate is under 1%, probably very close, if not less than 0.1%. And President Trump is right to emphasize this. My complaint is he's having trouble memorizing what the number is. Mr. President, nail that down. And there's a chart that I would encourage you to show the American people. By flu season, how many got the flu and how many died? And then say, it's happening this year. It looks like over 20,000, maybe over 30,000 will actually die from influenza flu this year. And upwards of 20 million people, maybe more, will actually get the flu. Compare that with this coronavirus. Now, why doesn't he do that? He should do that. If he were smart and had some courage, he would do that. Well, then the question is, well, what's the government doing to combat the influenza flu? The answer is there's not much you can do other than encourage people to get a flu shot. See, the danger, the reason why people die from this leads to pneumonia. Typically that, because if you see the major causes of death, and this is one of the top 10, it's influenza-pneumonia. And it's primarily people over the age of 60, 70, 80 that get it. And they do have to be hospitalized and treated. And for pneumonia, you can be treated, and typically it involves penicillin or some other antibiotic. And that reminds me, what is the by far the bigger problem and really should get a lot of attention and exposure right now is the fact that the communist Chinese have a near monopoly on most of the drugs that the American people need. I'm talking over-the-counter drugs, so-called generics, both the ingredients and the drugs, the medications. Penicillin is a good example. At one time, the United States had plenty of companies producing penicillin. That's no longer the case. Really hasn't been the case for, over 15 years. We need to dramatically look at and become independent of the communist Chinese and other countries for drugs that the American people need throughout the year, but especially if they're sick. Antibiotics is one of them. High blood pressure medicine is another. But there's a long list, and guess who the major supplier, in some case only supplier, is? It's communist China. We never should have put ourselves in that position, and we should correct it forthwith. That's what the president should be leading on, getting out from under the thumb of the communist Chinese in the drug area. And they weren't playing fair when they got this monopoly position. They were dumping. And many of the companies that in the past had sold penicillin went out of business or went into another business. We need that conversation, and we really are not getting it. We should have it right now to emphasize to the American people how dependent we are and that we need to do something about it. Why won't that happen? Because guess what? There are people in Congress on the Democrat and Republican side that know all about this. And they didn't do anything. In other words, our industrial base in terms of producing antibiotics, high blood pressure medicine, you name a generic drug that you're using, made in China, made in China, made in China. We need to be totally self-sufficient in all those drugs. This is a direct threat to our national security. An easy way, it's not the entire thing you need to do, is to require the armed forces or U.S. military services to buy all their medications through a United States source. In other words, no longer permit hospitals, doctors to purchase abroad if you're being either treated by the military or our medical insurance that people have, such as Medicare, but others. They all should have as the source of the drugs U.S. companies. Now, it's going to take a little time to change that, but that's just one of the things that should be done. Require and make sure we have a source in the United States that's owned by U.S. citizens that can provide all the medications that we need to treat disease and medical problems. I don't hear much on that. There have been a few stories, but that's by far, in my mind, the long-range problem that needs to be addressed as fast as possible. We need to totally reverse that situation. And that should be brought up at press conferences, because what Vice President Pence is doing, what is telling the American people where we stand, especially in terms of number of testing kits, number of people that number of confirmed cases, and on. But what are we doing to make sure that we have the medicine that we need? And that includes penicillin antibiotics, because if these people that have it that are at high risk, they're going to need to be treated for it. And if it gets out of hand, you're going to need a lot more of it. So we need a crash program, but a program that within a short period of time ramps up the production of medicine across the board in the United States. And yes, it's probably going to cost more than if we bought it from communist China or India. Competition is always good. I'm not generally for any way subsidizing, but we need to have a meeting, and supposedly they met with the pharmaceutical companies, but the manufacturer of these drugs, and get this ball rolling. In other words, stop the dependence on one or very few nations. You know, the two that come to mind are communist China and India. Make sure that if either in a time of crisis like this or in times of war, the United States has its own supply of medicine that it needs to treat its wounded and those that come down with, for example, a virus like this. And remember, it's pneumonia that is ultimately the killer here. Now, what about the financial situation? The United States economy is growing, folks. So I'm not in favor of any type of stimulus program. I think that's a typical panic response. We need fundamental tax reform, but it's not going to happen as long as the Democrats control Congress. And yes, I'm for totally repealing and replacing all federal taxes with one single tax. I'm totally against temporary targeted, and that's what they're considering, a payroll, either they'll eliminate it or partially do away with it. We'll get the more details tomorrow. So I'm not a big fan of this temporary stimulus at all. That's just government intervening in the economy, and they go about interfering very easily, but it causes a misallocation of resources in the long run. The government should stay out of the private sector. So I'm not for all these stimulus, because usually what it is the government subsidizing. And I will say that that's a similar situation with the drugs. And one way around it is just make sure our government and our military, which is the government, when they buy medicine, they buy from a U.S. supplier that meets all the standards and all that in terms of quality. But I'll be the first one to say it's going to cost us more money, but that's the price you pay to make sure, no matter what happens, whether it's a crisis due to disease, a medically caused crisis, or to war, we will always have the medicine that we need for not only our military, but also for our citizens of the country. Because let's be clear here. Do you think the Europeans are going to send us medicine if this is a global pandemic? They're going to be worried about the people in the European Union, not whether the United States and its people have enough medicine. That's what happens if you really have a true pandemic where tens of millions of people are dying. We don't have tens of millions of people dying. So far, and this is fairly far into the flu season, it's under 4,000. What if it were five times that, 20,000? That would still be less than the number of people that are dying from influenza, that have already died from influenza in the United States so far. So stop panicking. And really, it's not the American people that are panicking. We have people that control the media that want to panic you, and they're doing their level best because they want to defeat Trump. They shouldn't be playing politics with this. And I'm dead serious about that. That said, there are dozens of people they can call on to try to panic you. And many times they'll give you misleading information. And it needs to be stopped. Now, am I calling for the government to interfere and do this? No. The way you stop it is you turn it off or you change the channel. And when no one is watching them, they eventually get the message when they have difficulty getting advertisers to advertise. But that all takes time. I'm tired of these panic pushers, primarily progressive pandemic panic pushers, trying to scare you. It's not very useful, folks. It simply is not very useful. So Italy is locked down. The United States is trying to ramp up the number of test kits. We have various governors that I think the worst is Cuomo, but he's in the best position to decide what he thinks is best for the state. The bigger problem is the big lie media mob. They are the ones that are really stoking this. Now, that doesn't surprise me. They try to panic you about the Russians are coming. And now it's the flu is coming, or the flu is here. Now, next show, I'll probably mention or get on to the fact that it looks like Hillary Clinton might come back. Remember, tomorrow, Joe Biden, if you can believe their polls, is going to win and lock up the Democratic Party nomination. But Joe Biden is in a race. Right now, he's just showing the early signs of dementia. I think it's going to get worse. And the American people woke up to that. So are the leadership of the Republican Party. So who comes to the rescue to fill in? Hillary Clinton. The vice president. She wants to get the vice president nomination, assuming that either Joe Biden is going to die or go nuts, senile, and then she can become president. There's only one problem with that. Donald Trump has to lose. I don't think he is. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.